This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The issue with Chill Out aside, this is Midsummer Festival. You're still under your wing. What's in store for those who get along to this year's march and also the Carnival Day?
This year's Midsummer Festival is 3 weeks jam-packed full of all sorts of arts and cultural activity, whether it's literature and spoken word, poetry, or whether it's a car rally or a rowing experience, cabaret, contemporary dance, visual arts. We've got all of it. The premier events are the things that I'm really keen for. Carnival, obviously, and Tea Dance opens the festival on January 17. We're days away from that, and we're getting ready to put the infrastructure into Alexandra Gardens, there opposite the Art Centre. There's 6 or 7 hours of free entertainment that showcases all of the different live music and cabaret artists that are appearing in the festival on the free main stage on the Engineer's Lawn. Tea Dance kicks off from about 6 o'clock in the evening on the Palms Lawn, and Tea Dance, the tickets are available at midsummer.org.au or Hares and Hyenas or the Market Hotel. The visual arts exhibitions, Queer City and Yarra Arts, kick off the very next days in 45 Downstairs, City Library, Loop, etc., and Guildford Lane Galleries in Melbourne, 69 Smith Street and Red Gallery in Fitzroy for the Yarra Arts exhibitions. We have Pink Shorts returning this year for the third year running, the Queer Short Play Competition. It will take place at 45 Downstairs. Our festival hub venue partner, Gasworks Arts Park, dance company Functional and Midsummer have collaborated to produce a work called Nexus, which will take place at Gasworks Arts Park in the last week of festival. It's a contemporary dance work with, you know, people like Rocky Stone from Circus Oz, and Thomas Araquero is a Spanish flamenco dancer, but it crosses the genres of hip-hop and contemporary dance as well. That's going to be an exciting feast for the dance community, I'm sure. Gentlemen Prefer Blokes at Theatre Works, just up the road from where I'm waiting for a bus right now. 21 through 24 January, Trevor Ashley and Courtney Act. Courtney Act, I'm sure everybody knows, and Trevor Ashley, probably equally as well known for his work in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Those two guys have combined to create Gentlemen Prefer Blokes that will take on history's greatest duos, really. It's a comedy review show. They've had successful seasons in Sydney and Adelaide already, and they're excited to be coming to Melbourne for Midsummer. So there's a ton of things on. And then on top of all of the things I've mentioned, there's at least 103 events that have been created, funded and put on by community organisations, individual artists or collectives and people or community sports clubs or otherwise, that Midsummer really does very little to realise the event. We just assist with the publicity and the marketing and provide the catalyst for. So it truly is a festival for and by the queer community of Melbourne, celebrating everything that is the fabric of our culture. But at the same time, in this day and age, it's also still a place where our rights issues and we still voice our political statements through the work that we do. It's not just about celebrating the artists and the artwork. It's the stories that that artistic expression tells. And so there are a lot of exhibitions and a lot of work within the festival that's centred around the political situations and the human rights issues that are still faced by the queer community. So the relevance of Midsummer is still incredibly high, and you can be guaranteed that the 2010 festival will encompass everything that you could possibly think of as representing the queer community.
Now, you've been involved in events management for some time now, and obviously at the start of last year especially, the GFC played a definite part in the economic situation at the time. How have you gone in planning this year's event? Has it been smooth sailing? Have you been able to get the corporate support as in previous years?
Yeah, look, Midsummer's well supported at the moment by government. And we don't see any reason that that's going to change, and our government partners have indicated the same, and our corporate partners are indicating the same thing. We this year, I think, is the fourth or more, maybe fifth year that IBM has been associated with Midsummer, and they're a cash sponsor, and they've committed yet again to the importance of Midsummer. And we brought into the family Art Series Hotels and Virgin Blue this year. That sponsorship arrangement isn't necessarily in cash, but it affects bottom line operating budget directly by being we're able to provide travel for free and accommodation for free to up until a point in order to bring artists into the city. Get out into other cities and promote Midsummer interstate and generate more tourism into Victoria and showcase the work of Queer Melbourne to the rest of the country. So the corporate support has not waned, really. There might not be much cash out there at the moment, but I like to think of being relationship over transaction, and the relationships that Midsummer's got with its government funding partners and with its corporate funding partners, the relationships are great and they look like continuing for some time yet. I don't think I can say the GFC has been a major player on our mind. But this 2010 festival will be my third carnival day and my second full festival. And in the time that I've been working with the festival, I have three key thoughts or ideas behind each of the things that I try to influence at festival. Consolidation, stability and relevance. Because when I first came along, the cash surplus was almost zero, and by the time the 2008 festival was over, there was a zero cash balance in the bank. And there's no security blanket. There was no security blanket. And in 2009, by using those three kind of ideas, consolidating what we were doing, making sure we were doing something that was stable and that could be maintained, and finding ways to make sure that anything was relevant in order to achieve stability and consolidation, I think we turned we realised a surplus in 2009 of about $35,000. That money is still in the bank today, and it's there as a security blanket, and we're still funded with CPI increases a little bit more than we were in 2009 for the 2010 festival. And that doesn't take away from our reliance upon donations. And I think I said to the team during the course of the last 6 or 8 weeks that what we need to make sure we're doing now is we need to be talking about the fact that Midsummer is a tax-deductible gift recipient and that we can offer tax-deductible donations to, we can take tax-deductible donations from the community, and we need to be doing that during festival, when festival is high on people's minds and high in priority, because our budgets do have some $5,000 to $10,000 worth of reliance upon donations, and anything over $2 is tax deductible. So, and you can specifically ask to get a receipt for that tax deduction, and that goes to paying for the activities that we are doing to make the festival happen. And it will protect that $35,000 in the bank that's earning compound interest that will then, make sure that if something goes awry, we've got something to fall back on. And I'd hope that the 2010 festival will break even. I think, yeah, it's a slightly tougher time for everybody, GFC or no GFC. So the target this year is not to make masses of money. The target is to break even. If we make masses of money because people donate a lot, or our ticket sales estimations are conservative and people turn out more, that's wonderful, wonderful news. But we've been conservative with our figures, and we try to look to a break even, so that we don't go backwards on that $35,000 that we made last year. But you know, and hopefully the community will support Midsummer much more than the conservative figures that I've put in the budget, and we'll be able to look at ways of, you know, increasing that safety net, but then looking at ways where we can be applying some of that revenue to activities, or some of that surplus, back into the organisation, and back into developmental programs, or expanding one thing or improving another, and hopefully some of our feedback and survey work over the next festival, over the 2010 festival, will give us an idea of if we are in a situation in the next year or three where we could be starting to put some money towards some things, what would those things be? But look, I don't expect that in the next 12 months we will be doing that, but when you're growing a surplus, you've got to have a plan for it, and at the moment the plan for that surplus is to insure us against rain. If nobody turned up to Carnival Day or Tea Dance, we would be easily $80,000 to $100,000 behind before we even started. If we didn't sell those tickets and make the donations and the revenue that we make out of Carnival alone. So at this point in time, fiscally, we need to be very conservative and careful.
So what turnout are you expecting? Are you expecting many locals to get involved this year, or some from interstate?
We're definitely working on increasing our interstate participation. We're running a competition at the moment that with our new travel partners, you know, if interstate people can book travel packages through the Blue Holidays group, staying at Art Series hotels and flying Virgin Blue with tickets to Tea Dance, etc., all packaged in. That's an attempt by us to bring some more interstate visitation and showcase our work and showcase our city and our tolerant, diverse society to the rest of Australia. But I expect in 2010 that the participation will be predominantly by Melbourne and regional Victoria, the Victorian queer community who celebrate with us the most, and that's natural. It's we're Melbourne's queer cultural festival, and we're a celebration for and by that community. So. As for Carnival Tea Dance, look, I'm hoping to see 2,500 to 3,000 people attend the Tea Dance on the evening of the 17th of January. I'm hoping that there's 20,000 or more people who come and spend the day, enjoy free entertainment and catching up with friends that they haven't seen since last Midsummer, and potentially, you know, joining the Rainbow Cloggers and having a line dance or something like that at Carnival, just to showcase the strength that our community has through its unity. We are a unified GLBTIQ group, and Midsummer demonstrates that to the rest of society, and so I'm really keen to see a peaceful, enjoyable, queer family celebration on the 17th of January with as many people as we can get.
Yeah, and I think it should be another big success this year, and hopefully people get out and watch it. And I know that we here at Joy are going to be broadcasting live on Carnival Day and the parade as well, so we'll be definitely getting behind you guys.
Yeah, look, absolutely. Joy, Midsummer's relationship with Joy is growing and strengthening, and I think I personally believe Joy has a really, really, really significant role to play in our community, as does Midsummer, and we should be working together hand in glove to do our constituents well, and I think that's happening, and so I'm very thankful to Joy for the work that its volunteers and its paid staff put into making the Midsummer relationship work. And Pride March Victoria is, as always, closes the festival on February 7th, and Brett Hayho and the team at Pride March Victoria are doing, as always, an astounding job of making our rights issues known, along with the Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby. It's wonderful that those things are part of Midsummer as well.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.